to you in peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, the epistle lesson about Jesus. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's our text. And, you know, repeating a little bit from the beginning of the service, you got to say, I am deeply, deeply impressed. A guy moves to town, only here about a year and a half, turns 60 years old, and the whole town turns out to celebrate. 5 days of partying and fireworks last night, and finish up my birthday with a parade. Boy, you know, you could think, wow, it's all about me, couldn't you? No, it's not all about me, and that's the focus of the sermon. You know, who is it really all about? It's all about Jesus. Okay. And so we do this week after week. Every week seems to be the same thing, preaching the same message, hearing the same message, and hearing, it's all about Jesus, it's all about Jesus, let me tell you about Jesus, let me tell you more about Jesus. You'd think a person could get bored with that, wouldn't you? But no, actually it is all about Jesus. Did you notice in the epistle lesson? Paul starts to talk about what? Talks about how to live with one another in Christian love. And, you know, somebody is going to ask Paul, how do we live as Christians with each other? And he will say, well, let me tell you about Jesus. Or somebody would say to Paul, tell me about prayer. And Paul would say, okay, let me tell you about prayer. Let me tell you about Jesus. Paul, let me tell you or tell us something about forgiveness. And Paul would say, let me tell you about Jesus. And on and on and on, the same thing. Paul, don't you have anything else to say? Why, yes, let me tell you more about Jesus. And there's a pattern here. Paul seems to be completely obsessed with this person, Jesus. Wonder why? Could it be because it really is all about Jesus? From beginning to end, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Redeemer, the Shepherd, the Good Shepherd, the Son of God, the Savior, King of Kings, Messiah, Prince of Peace, the Lamb, the Way, the Truth, the Life, and on and on and on as our banner teaches us. It really is all about Jesus. So, what is it that it is all about if it is all about Jesus? It is about what he has done and who he is, that though he existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. See, if it's about him, shouldn't he be the most important and take the highest place? And there, along comes Jesus, and he starts contradicting, doing the opposite. It's all about him, and he is the greatest and the highest and the most wonderful. So what's he going to do? Empty himself. Oh, it really is about him? Well, where was he born? In a barn, in a stable, laid in a manger. Takes the lower place. If it is really all about him, what does he spend his life doing? Praying for us. Going around teaching and healing and forgiving. If it really is all about him, shouldn't he have that place of importance? What does he do? Goes to Gethsemane. And there, falling down in prayer. It's the opposite. See, Jesus is the place where God says, now, take a look at me, how I really am, not how you expected me to be. Little detour. You go around the world, you ask people, what is God like? What will they tell you? Glorious, mighty, all-knowing, all-powerful. He is all of these things. Okay? Now, how about a picture of this almighty God? You want a picture of this almighty God? Turn your inner eyes, the eyes of your heart, to Bethlehem and a stable and a manger and the animals around with the smells and the dirtiness. That's God in His glory. And outside in the fields, the angels are singing, glory to God in the highest. That's His glory, the glory He claims. You want to find God in His wisdom? Find Him in Gethsemane. In wisdom, falling to the ground. In wisdom, praying so that His sweat becomes like great drops of blood. In wisdom, the letter to the Hebrews tells us, crying out with loud cries and tears in His prayer. God in His wit. Want to find God in His strength? Well, look at Him on Good Friday, beaten, bloody, and hanging on a cross, gasping for breath, breathing out a few words, and then dying. God in His strength. Paul comes along elsewhere. This is in 1 Corinthians, and he says, the wisdom of God is wiser, or the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. And he points to Jesus. He says, Greeks seek wisdom, Jews seek signs. We preach Christ crucified, foolishness to the Greeks, a stumbling block to the Jews. But for those who are being saved, the wisdom of God and the strength of God. He is salvation. In Him is everything. And yet He has done it by these strange opposites. One of my favorite television shows in the last decade was this thing called Dirty Jobs. I told you about this before. This fellow, Mike Rowe, traveling around the country, he's invited by different people. Come, do my job for a day. And the invitation ends up with him doing the nastiest, dirtiest, stinkiest, filthiest jobs you can imagine. And then he starts saying things on his show like, one thing I've learned is that there always is another level down, where the stuff from this level flows down to that. Yeah, that's where they keep putting him. And he learns about the lowest level. You want to see God in the highest glory? Look at Him on Good Friday. King of kings and Lord of lords, having taken the lower place and the lower place and the lower place again until He claims that lowest place in all creation. The lowest level where all of the sin flows down to there. All of the filth flows down to the place of the cross. All of the uncleanness of all humanity through thousands of years runs down to there. And that's where He takes His place. Such amazing glory. It's the glory of being the Savior. Oh, wait, let's say it differently. It's the glory of being, and you can say it this way, of being the man of sin. Because what was He? In that moment, He was the Son of God, the Son of Man, the one who had all the sin of the world put on him, who then goes to his father and says, Father, here I am, covered with every imaginable filth of the entire human race from beginning to end. Here I am, the worthy sacrifice. It's stunning. It's stunning because in that place we find everything gathered together. And somebody has said, you know when Judgment Day is? Judgment Day was. It was on Good Friday. And all the signs of Judgment Day were there. Earthquake, darkness. The Son of God being punished for the sins of the whole world and being condemned and damned by his Father. And going to that place, he took every bit of sin and uncleanness from us, carried it off, and left us with his holiness to clothe and wrap around us and make us glorious standing before God on that day in the future. Glorious standing before God as we come to worship him. But not a glory of our own, not a holiness of our own. It's a borrowed glory and a given holiness. And he wraps you in that holiness. And then Paul takes from that point and launches. It's opposite day. He paints the picture of the Son of God taking the lowest possible place and then says, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, gave him the name that is above every name, the name of Savior, Redeemer, the name of the only one who could possibly do this for you and for me, the name of the righteous one who gives us his righteousness and his holiness. Let a human being, normal human being, try and be righteous in the sight of God. He will fail immediately. Not only that, but if he succeeds, he's only righteous for himself. This Holy One, by taking the sin of everybody else on himself, this Holy One has a holiness that can be shared, given away, and put over us so that we are washed and made clean. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, the name of the Savior, the name of the Lamb of God, the name of the righteous one who redeems and saves us. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And we wait for that day. We hope for that day. We look forward to that day when we will see Jesus. And on that day, we will bow our knees. We will worship. We will proclaim, acclaim, celebrate, and worship him as our Savior, our Redeemer. Not only we will do that, not only will we do that, but every knee shall bow. Even those who do not want to know him, even those who refuse to acknowledge him, they will be compelled to acknowledge that he is the Lord and the Savior, and in that being compelled, there will be no joy. The acclamation of Jesus as the Savior and Lord by those who will not know him will be followed by them losing everything, not getting to see the glory and the joy and the blessings of heaven, missing out. not getting to enjoy the holiness and the eternal life that he shares, missing out. But for us, the glory and wonder and joy of that day will be beyond imagining. And then it will just continue on and on and on and on. And it won't be a 5-day celebration, will it? It will be a celebration that goes on how long?
Forever.
Yeah. And all of this is why we want to spend our lives speaking of and thinking about and treasuring the message of Jesus Christ and who he is. Why it is a celebration to have, frankly, for me to have reached 60 years and say, still spending my life telling about Jesus Christ. There's no other story I want to tell. In Jesus' name, amen.